This is the Blog This Podcast, episode 4.
Welcome to the Blog This Podcast. Jeff Mendelson and Hillary Faverman discuss digital marketing, social media, and entrepreneurship with a bit of snark thrown in for good measure, minus the hype and BS normally associated with these topics. Our take is a more practical approach to launching, running, and marketing your small business, finding your voice, and building your brand, all while maintaining balance with your actual life, assuming you have one.
Hey, man.
What's going on, Hillary?
Things are good. Things are good. It's 95 degrees because I live in the Middle East and it's friggin' August. Mm-hmm. And my kids are home because the school's here. And how this works is that they're home from mid-July through the beginning of September. So now I understand why some species eat their young. And I am trying very, very desperately to be the good mommy. We're doing mommy camp. And this morning I took my seven-year-old to get her first pedicure. And that was super fun. And we took pictures. And she got a haircut. And it was like beauty spa day.
Nice. So you've been taking care of the kids all summer.
I've been taking care of the kids all summer, okay, but I'm also running my business.
Right.
So here's how it goes down. What I do is I run from 5:30 in the morning till 7. Then I shower from 7 to 7:30, and I shower the kids as well. Then from 7:30 to 10, I get to work. My husband's on the kids from 7:30 to 10. At 10 o'clock, he goes to work. I'm on the kids. Mm-hmm. So I've got the kids from 10 a.m. to like 6 p.m., which is why I understand about the other species. And then at 6 p.m., we swap. He takes the kids. I go back to work, and I hope to eat at some point during the day. How's your summer treating you?
Pretty much about the same. my kids are off of camp, and that's been pretty stressful in that. They're home, and you try to limit the amount of TV that they're watching. So,
we don't do TV at all, which is why I'm dying.
The next best thing then is the computer. So they manhandle
right.
My wife's computer.
No, we don't allow that either. Yeah, no video games, no TV. We're like horrible hippie people that way.
Horrible hippies. Well, we let them watch.
I make my kids play Uno.
My kids will watch ad nauseum. The new Wet Side Story, which is the new TV beach teen movie over the summer. And my kids know all the songs by heart now. So it's kind of cute to watch them dance to it and all that. But yeah, it's getting old. They're going back to school on the 19th, which I am happy for. But I managed to get the kids and the wife out of the house. They're going to Mexico very soon. And I'm
woohoo!
Yeah, so I'm staying here. But they're going to have a good time. And leave me alone to get some work done. And then when they come back, then it's going to be the mad rush for back to school stuff and get them back in by the 19th. So we're pretty excited
good
about that.
Good luck. We're going to have a margarita together.
Exactly.
Right around that time. A celebratory, we've made it through the summer kind of a thing.
Exactly. So
listen, what I wanted to talk about today is this really fabulous interview that I've lined up. We're going to talk to Debbie Lewis of a company called Jebra Web. Mm-hmm. She is out of Chicago. I've known Debbie a long time. She is one of my favorite people. Her outlook on life is a little different than mine. I very much appreciate the progression of her career, the choices that she's made. I have a lot of respect for the kind of business that she runs and the reasons that she runs it that way. She has both a bachelor's and a master's in English, which, as you know, is super marketable and very lucrative. So she took that knowledge and right as the internet boom was hitting, she turned it into, oh, I better learn how to program. Someone threw a book at her and said, figure it out. So she did because she's smart cookie. and several years later launched her company, Jabra Web. And what she does is she's a Joomla head like you are, and she makes websites, but very niche websites. She specifically serves the nonprofit sector, and her rates are significantly lower than a lot of other folks out there who do what she does, because she wants to make herself accessible and affordable and really an asset and a partner to the nonprofit community. Now, she runs her company like I run mine, in terms of I'm running this company around my kids. I'm working first thing in the morning. I'm working at night. I'm working on weekends because I want to be spending quality afternoon time with my kids. She picks her two girls up at 1 o'clock every day. She spends the afternoons with them. She works from a coffee shop called the Brothers K. She calls it her North office. It's a locally owned business. She is very, it's very important to Debbie to support locally owned and run businesses. She's one of the only people I know who has her actual physical mailing and her real address on her website, because she's proud of who she is, where she works, where she comes from. She wants to be part of the local community. She's one of those bloody do-gooder types that is a bit hippie. I mean, she's vegan. More power to her. I can't give up my steak. The woman doesn't wear leather. She also is one of those people who orders like that farm share, you know, like you can get the organic produce in a basket. Yes, that's the one.
Nice.
She introduced me to kale. She introduced me to Swiss chard. She introduced me to lentils, which I thought were, you know, only for people from other countries. Apparently they are for me as well. So Debbie has taught me a lot over the years. And one of the things I'm most impressed with is the niche that she's chosen, how she got there, and why she runs her business the way she does. And I think the folks who are interested in listening to us and are interested in the topics that we're discussing will also be interested in what Debbie has to say and her take on entrepreneurialism.
I'm excited. You ready to cut to the interview?
Yalla, let's go.
Let's go.
Okay, so this is our first show with an actual live, living, breathing guest, and I'm very excited about our guest. First of all, I adore her, but also I called her names in our last podcast, and of course I'm in big trouble because I called her all kinds of names, and what I called her was a bloody do-gooder, because although what I do is for a number of purposes, and I love what I do, and I'm passionate about what I do, and I do select clients based on who I can be successful with, long-term who I can partner with, what they do, and whether or not I believe in what they're doing, Debbie, our guest today, Debbie Lewis, who runs a company called Jabra Web, and writes a fantastic blog that I read regularly called Jabra Webbed. Try to say that three times fast. She has focused her business after many years in tech on specifically picking clients who do things that she appreciates, approves of, and that improve the world. She has a habit of staying away from clients who are not nonprofit, as far as I understand, and focusing very much on making websites within Joomla, if I'm correct, and if I'm not, she will totally correct me, specifically for businesses who are improving the world in one way or another. And one of the things I love about her blog is that she compares many things to cake, and I am a big cake sucker. And she's a cook, and I can learn things from her. She and I are both home chefs, if you will. Part of the whole bloody do-gooder platform is that she's vegan, and she doesn't wear leather, and she, you know, pets bunnies in the street when she gets the opportunity. I don't know, perhaps I'm exaggerating. I will ask Debbie. But what I'm curious about is how she came to the realization, the kind of realization that I have come to, that Jeff has come to, that anybody who is launching a business or is thinking about launching a business or has launched a business has come to, in terms of this is what I need to be doing. This is why. These are the kinds of things I need to stay away from. This is why. And I need to dedicate myself to something that is tangible, that I am passionate about, that is going to agree with my vibe, my headspace, and is going to make me feel positive and is going to recognize and agree with my contribution to the greater world. Debbie, I would love to welcome you to the Blog This podcast, and I want you to tell us about your business.
Hi, I would love to tell you about it. And I'm happy to be a bloody do-gooder. Totally, totally happy to be that. That's a great, maybe I'll make that my tagline. I don't know. But yeah, so you pretty much characterized it perfectly, except for the fact that I would never turn away a profitable business. I just want to see that business has something they want from the world more than profit. So,
more than profit.
Yeah, there is something more than profit. I swear, there's more to life than profit. Because if all you wanted to do, either of you, was make money, there's all kinds of unethical ways that you can go about making money, or even ways that you could make money that maybe aren't universally unethical, but go against your personal beliefs, right? You could make money off of
kosher, but not cool.
Yeah, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's all sorts of ways you could do that. And there's all sorts of ways I could do that. I mean, you cannot swing an ethically killed cat around here without hitting a web developer. Lots of people do what I do. So,
well, first of all, when you say here, where is here? Where are you based?
I live in a suburb of Chicago, Illinois, called Evanston. It's the home of Northwestern University. It's along the lakefront. It's kind of it's known as sort of a diverse, intellectually stimulating community. But, you know, we're really just an extension of Chicago. So there's tons and tons and tons of web developers around here. And, you know, you have to pick a market. You have to pick a niche. There's no way to say, I could do anything you want for anyone who wants it. And so, you know, to figure out how you distinguish yourself and how you show why you're different and why they should work with you, I mean, it's a soul-searching process, right, for anybody. Mm-hmm. And for me—
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I had to kind of think about it. And at first, when I first started out, you know, I had to take whatever clients I could get. I mean, you know, I needed the money. I was, I quit my job because
they
my
all
second,
say that right. I was young. I needed the money. We understand.
Oh, I know. There are no pictures. I swear I do want the option of running for office someday. I made sure there were no pictures of those early clients.
See, we did all our stupid things before there was Facebook. Thank God.
Thank goodness. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So I'm actually going to write about this in my blog that I think it'll launch tomorrow, this post. But one of my first clients when I first quit my job, because I quit my day job, which was wonderful. I was the manager of web development for the American Library Association. It was a great job. It was a great organization. But I had a new baby who was sick and could not be in childcare. And it was a decision that, you know, we made purely financially. My husband made more money than I did. And so it made more sense for me to be the one to stay home with her. But I wanted to keep working and we needed the extra money. So the first few clients I took, some of them were from the American Library Association's divisions, but some of them were, you know, blood-sucking businesses out just to make money and whatever, you know, whatever. That was the only goal, right? And
not
one of
the
them,
bloody do-gooders.
No, not bloody do-gooders. Different. Bloody blood suckers. I don't know. They were
BBS.
Yes. If we're going to, you know, make a cool acronym. Yeah. So one of the first ones was, and I will not name names, but they were a huge hip hop events promotion company. And they, I found them by searching Craigslist for people who needed programmers in what I did. And their post was something like, OMG, our programmer disappeared on a Coke binge. Desperately need someone now.
And who's not on a Coke binge?
I think that was probably, as long as you was like a manageable Coke binge that made you still productive, it was probably fine. But
so you were
had
like
to be
waving
there.
Your hand, I am Coke binge free, at least at the moment.
And this is so long ago that this person's phone number was on Craigslist. Like, you know, it was long enough ago that you could still do that. So I called this person and got the job, I think, because I was the first person who called, maybe.
Who was not coked up, yeah.
Well, you know, I don't know how she could. She didn't send me like a kit or anything to test whether I was cooked at. But I can assure you I was not. And I did that project, she was a terrible client. I mean, it was a fight to get my money in the end. And in the end, what I produced for these people worked, and you know, they got what they needed, but it didn't leave me feeling good about what I was doing in the way that working for the American Library Association had made me feel great about what I was doing. Because anybody can push pixels around the internet, you know. What was I doing to improve anyone's life, really? I mean, I just didn't feel fulfilled. So I started trying to look for the kinds of clients who had some other purpose beyond, you know, just making money. And I found a Reiki practitioner who needed a website. It was small. It wasn't a lot of money. But when it was done, I felt really great about it. And I'd worked really closely with her, and I met with her in person. And I went and took photographs of things that she wanted on her site. And it was very early in my freelance career, but it felt great. And that was really what informed all of my future decisions about how was I going to build this business.
You market initially specifically to, like, how did you identify and then reach and market to the bloody do-gooder clients?
Yeah, good
rather
question.
Rather than the bloody bloodsucker clients.
Right. Yes, this is a good distinction. At first, I didn't. I just kind of hoped, because at first, you know, you take the clients you can get. You need I needed to build a portfolio. I needed to build the work. So at first, I did a lot of, the American Library Association had a million divisions and units, and I did a lot of work for all of them, and that was helpful at first. And then those people, some of them were on boards of small nonprofits elsewhere. You know, maybe they're some neighborhood organization or some small nonprofit, and they would refer me. And so, you know, in working with the kind of people I liked, I got to meet more of the kind of people I liked. So that was the first way I did it. And then I tried a bunch of things that didn't work. I joined my local Chamber of Commerce.
Jeff loves his Chamber of Commerce.
Do you, Jeff?
Yeah, right. In air quotes.
Not so much love.
Yeah, not so much love. I believe them to be a necessary evil in most cases. However, you really do have to put in a fair amount of work into getting what it is that you're looking for, and that's really the point of a chamber of commerce. No, is that you put in this this amount of work and you get out of it. What I find, though, at least for our for the businesses that we're in, right, in terms of web development, we tend to entertain ourselves thinking that, well, everyone needs a website. Well, unfortunately, everyone doesn't think that, right? And they don't think it to the level that they really need it in order to really use it as a business tool. So what happens is that you get this guy who's, was pushing his business card on pest control, right? And you see that he's got a really crappy website, and you're like, hey, I could really help you out. But he's like, well, I don't see the value in it. And if he doesn't see the value in it, I'm certainly no one to convince them that there's a value in it. And, just move on from there. Not the right type of client. Move on and find the right type of client that fits for you.
The most successful marketing tool for you has been face-to-face local neighborhood networking.
Right. I hope this won't be too long a story, but trust me, we're getting somewhere with it. So one of the things in this neighborhood is a great little fitness studio for women and children called Hip Circle Studio. And I had taken my children there for mother-daughter belly dance classes and met the owner, who was lovely. And we became Facebook friends, just personally, not on a business level. And one day she posted on Facebook, "Does anybody out there have any experience with Joomla? I'm trying to fix the Main Street Station Business Association website, and I can't figure out what to do." And so I wrote back, "I can help you. Give me a call." Gave her my phone number. She called me. I helped her. It was a very simple fix. She just didn't know how to do it. And she said, "Do you do this for a living?" And I said,
As a matter of fact, I do.
Right. And she said, what would it take for you to upgrade this website? And so I sent her a proposal, and suddenly now I'm the webmaster, or whatever you call it, the web consultant for this business association, and just quoted her recently on doing her own website. And so, you know, in the end, this personal connection became a really good business connection just by being a bloody do-gooder, Hillary, and helping her when she needed a hand. And I mean, I'm going to charge her for 5 minutes of Joomla help, but I think she probably expected I might, and I didn't. So, you know, I guess that's one way to do it. And then,
you know, one of the things they say about social media, and I know that you have recently delved into social media and you were a bit skittish about it, and we can talk about that too. I mean, I'm a big social media ho. I know it's fairly new for you, but one of the things that they, you know, the ninjas, the gurus, those people suggest in terms of networking and making personal connections, which ultimately can turn into business connections as it has for you, is to offer assistance. People throw questions out there on LinkedIn groups, on Facebook groups, even personally. I mean, they call it crowdsourcing now, which is a really right. fancy word for, hey,
I've got
out of
a better word. I've heard hive minding. That's my favorite one.
Hive. What's Instead a hive mind?
Yeah, let's jelly.
You know. Oh my gosh. So hive mind, you know, the idea is that that beehives have, you know, one, they share information like sort of through the hive, right? So if you hive mind something, you're taking your hive, your Facebook crowd, your friends, your Twitter followers, and you ask the hive mind for help. I like that metaphor somewhat better than
mind.
Crowdsource.
So yeah. Wait a minute, is that a verb? I am going to hive mind this, like I am going to crowdsource
yes.
this or Google this?
Yes.
All right, so Debbie, how long did it take you to jump from taking any client that you could get your hands on that still had a good business plan, if you will, and bring that
there
over so that
pulse.
Pulse. No, good business plan. And to the nonprofit arena. How did you get into that particular niche?
Well, I always worked with nonprofits because I had left my job with the American Library Association. So that was my gateway drug to nonprofits. But then from
you know
there,
what they say about the Library Association.
I know it's true. It's true. But that was my most influential client as far as influencing my own business. And from there, I really started to seek them out. So, you know, I did some blind emailing of local nonprofits with crummy websites, to be clear. Like I would do a Google search for, you know, my town nonprofit organization or Chicago nonprofit and send out blind emails. I'm a web developer. I've been working with the American Library Association for the last 7 years. I would love to help you make your website more, better, more efficient route of communication to your potential donors, to your potential people you want to help, all of that sort of thing. So I did some just blind marketing, but I also just started talking to everyone about it. I did a couple
of blind marketing stick. I mean, did it go anywhere?
I'm trying to think. I don't think so. No, I don't think any of it did. But I think
that's a tricky way to do things. I mean, basically what you're doing is you're saying, hi, you don't know me. What you have out there sucks.
Oh, no. I wouldn't say anything like that. I'm much more.
She's a little more diplomatic than that.
Yes, I'm a little more diplomatic,
right.
Much sweeter. I looked at your website.
See, I'm in Israel. Diplomacy evades me.
No. I looked at your website and I thought, and I wondered if you were looking for any help adding additional features. That's a good way to add. Yeah.
Not it's really horrible and you should be ashamed and I can help you out of this nightmare.
Or not, did you download a template and just put your name on it? No, I wouldn't say something like that. But, I wouldn't want to say something like that. Somebody worked hard on that. And especially in the nonprofit arena, the people who are working on these websites, a lot of times they don't have the money to hire someone fabulous with technology. It may be the administrative assistant who someone dropped on their desk a WordPress book and said, could you make our website?
Yeah, can you do this for us, please?
Right. So,
well, correct me if I'm wrong. Your history looks a little bit like that.
Yeah, it does. I was that person in 1997. Yeah. Yeah, I was that person. I was I had a master's degree in English and a job that was supposed to be reviewing search engine websites for a curated search engine in 1997. And somebody said, "Oh, could you make a website?" and handed me a book. So, but I was making good money for that at the time. And nonprofit organizations, they may have lots of wonderful perks for their employees, but money is not one of them. So, you know, the people who work there are not working there for the big bucks. They're probably working there for some other reason. And sometimes that's flexibility. And sometimes that's because they're bloody do-gooders too. And sometimes that, you know, there's lots of good reasons to work there, but money is almost never one. So I have a lot of sympathy and a lot of, I guess I feel really, really deeply for those people. I think they're
go past sympathy for these people. You feel empathy for these people. You actually,
to some degree, yeah,
want to assist because you've been there. You understand.
Yeah, that's true. And I also think that, you know, I definitely could make more money working with other organizations, but I just wouldn't feel as good about myself. I just wouldn't. I don't think I have, like nonprofit management skills to offer. There's whole degrees in that sort of thing. I don't have mountains of money to donate into the world, but I do have the ability, thankfully, to work with organizations that can't afford really expensive web developers. I can charge them less. I'm lucky that way. I have, you know, I don't have almost any expenses of my own.
So except for the coffee.
Right. Cool. Coffee and web hosting.
Those scones, you know, add up, Debbie.
They do. But, you know, not nearly to the level like that an office would, that having paying rent in an office or, you know.
Jeff and I were just talking about that on our last show, his debate about whether or not to throw $900 a month on a little tiny room that's the same size as his current room so that he can have, air quotes, an office and a place to go and a place to meet clients and entertain them and blah, blah, blah. I work from my couch. He works from his house. You work from yours. I mean, ideally, you're keeping costs down so that you can do more of what you love to do and what makes you happy doing.
Yeah.
Now, what happens if a client approaches you who maybe you enjoy personally, but his website is online gambling? That's what he does.
Yeah, I think I'd probably refer him to someone else. I don't think I'd want to do that. And I'm grateful that I have the luxury of saying no. Because if I was really strapped for money, I couldn't, but I'm not that strapped that I have to take on an online gambling website.
Well, let's be clear. It's not that you live in a mansion. It's not that you have a garage full of cars. You guys are working people. You have a mortgage, you have kids, you're balancing all this stuff. One of the things that I read on your blog that intrigued me was that you are not specifically interested. It's not one of your goals to make crazy money. You're making enough to get by. You're comfortable with that.
Yes, that is true.
In light of all the other responsibilities that we have as parents, the mortgage, the car payments and things like that. Basically, what we're talking about is that you're defining your lifestyle on your terms. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think that's true. And I also don't think that my compensation comes entirely in money. Everyone talks about their compensation package when they go get a job, right? So they're part of their package is, their insurance, and part of their package is their paid time off, and part of their, you know, all of those things, right? You know, free Diet Coke, right? So part of my package that I get doing the work this way is that I sleep well at night, knowing that I'm not gouging anybody. I sleep well at night knowing that the people who I work with are feeling, I don't know, I guess they feel cared for. I hope they feel cared for. I hope they feel like I want their businesses to succeed enough not to say, you called me and we talked for 10 minutes and I charge in 15-minute increments, so that's 15 minutes worth of money. Like, I don't operate that way. I don't want to be.
You could never be a lawyer.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but you know, what's funny is I did work for a long time for a firm that made websites for law firms. That's how I learned to bill in 15-minute increments. And I do. But if they call me and they have a 2-minute question, I answer quickly. And then we talk about their kids for 10 minutes. I'm not billing them. I'm just not. So, you know, I think I can sleep well at night because I'm a nice person. And I'm glad that I can be a nice person, even in my professional life. All right. Well, I'll take it.
Oh, so that brings me back to the tangent that I was about to go on.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the social media answering of questions. The beehiving? Is that what you're doing?
Hive minding.
Answering of questions. I ended up with a plumber because I had put out there on a local Facebook group, we're buying a new house, which is better to go with, the gas heater for the water or something that's electric? Who knows anything about this? The guy doesn't know me. He doesn't know anything about me. He spent 3 minutes, literally 3 minutes, answering, these are the pros and cons of the gas, and these are the pros and cons of the electric. Who do you think I was going to call when I was ready, when something burst, or when we had a pipe problem, or when we were ready to install something? This guy had taken his time. I owed him nothing. He owed me nothing. But he had taken his time to answer a 2-minute question because he had expertise to offer. He answered this question with the expectation of nothing in return. And of course, I'm going to go to him. Of course. So right. It sounds like you used that same ideology that a lot of people are using in LinkedIn groups, a lot of people are using in social media in general, as a tactic, as a strategy, the same that my plumber used, and it worked for you even within your personal network.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I love that stuff. I eat it all up. It's great. I use that same method to get almost any information I need locally. Who's got a babysitter? Where's a good plumber? Has anybody ever bought a gas grill that plugs into the ground? Like all of those sorts of things. Yeah. And the same thing goes for professional services. So far my social media has not turned up those kinds of questions to me, at least my professional social media. So I'm working on it. You know, you can all you listeners can find me on Facebook at Jebra Web, and I'm happy to answer your questions. Ask away. But so far I with that question from Malik was my first exciting payoff of social media question answering for free.
Interesting. Yeah. Debbie, let me ask you something. What kind of tools do you use in your business to keep you organized, to keep you on track, if you will, with your different clients that you're managing on a day-to-day basis?
I host almost all the websites that I do in Joomla with a host company called Rockin, Rochen. And they have a really nice sort of staging environment. So when we're in development on a site, I'm able to have the website for them to keep watching, add their content, or just keep track of what I'm doing for them without the site being public to the world, because the URLs are so awful. No one would ever find them when they're in staging. So that's wonderful. I've really liked that setup. And beyond that, it's pretty simple. Lots of, email, phone calls. There's not a lot of complicated
You're not like having a CRM system. You're not working in Salesforce. You're not working with a project management system. You're not on Basecamp, Dropbox, nothing.
Oh my God, I'm exhausted just listening to that list. I have a really great Excel spreadsheet that I use for my timekeeping. And I have some templates in Word that I use for my invoicing. Does that count?
So
if it works for you.
It does. I mean, I'm a big fan of not swatting a fly with a Buick.
Love Buicks.
Buicks are great if you need to swat like a Sharknado, right? But I don't need to swat a Sharknado.
I have not seen that yet. I am desperate to see Sharknado. Let me tell you, it's all over Facebook. I must see Sharknado.
5 minutes of it last night on TV, and I was just grateful that it's still possible in these days to make a really bad B movie. I'm so glad that it still can happen. And Steve Sanders, come on, it's Steve Sanders. It was great. Anyway, Yeah, I don't need to swat a shark. I really have mostly flies. And so what I use is great. And I don't have to pay for any of those other things, right? Because I don't need them. And so why hit myself with one of those systems? So far, I don't need it.
Well, you're a big open source fan, if I remember correctly. Yeah, you're actually the reason I know what open source is and means.
Oh, I'm glad. Yeah, I like open source software.
Open source rocks because it allows you the flexibility to do everything that you need to do. And it also gives you the opportunity to contribute to a community if you're so inclined. So you can either use it and promote it, or you can contribute and build on it as well, which I think rocks.
Yeah, I had the opportunity to meet with some of the guys from Open Source Matters at the at CMS Expo this year. The Open Source Matters is kind of the organizational end of the Joomla project, and these are people who also feel really strongly about contributing to the world. I mean, if that could be the keyword today instead of bloody do-gooder, just contributor to world greatness, that's I think what these guys do.
That's a much better title if you're going to print business cards.
I think you're right. Yeah. I mean, hold on. I want to write that down. yeah. And these guys were really, these are people who travel all over the world on their own dime to meet with other people who are working on this project. It's really cool stuff. And the same thing is going on in Drupal and in WordPress, and I'm sure in other systems that haven't gotten traction of those three yet.
It amazes me how willing I have found people to contribute either to community or to something they believe in or to something they are part of or want to be part of. I mean, for example, as everybody knows who has been listening so far, I live in Israel. I've been here about 9 years. My husband grew up here. And so he does what they call miluim from time to time, which is basically army reserves. So most men have to serve 3 years in the army, and then they have to do reserve duty from time to time, once or twice a year, till they're 40. So he goes to Miluim to reserve duty at least a month out of every year and comes back floored. People bring their own vehicles, I mean their own personal cars, to transport soldiers from place to place. People are running the army and all the communication on their own personal cell phones. Nobody's submitting receipts. We're talking about individuals who are everything from doctors and lawyers or QA guys like my husband. They're everything. They're bagel people. I mean, they're caterers. They're everybody. And they bring their own cars and they bring their own cell phones and nobody's submitting receipts. Where would you even submit a receipt? These are people who care enough about the security of the country to contribute not only their time, which they're volunteering, but their own personal vehicles and cell phones. And it blows my mind. I'm not sure if that would necessarily happen in another place, but it sounds like, I mean, the two of you are in the States and it sounds like an open source community is fairly similar.
I would agree. What do you think, Jeff?
It's very similar in that what you are doing is that, first of all, you know, if you look at it purely from a user point of view, it's like, wow, I just got this great piece of software for free.
Right.
So now what do you do with that? Do you just take it and say thank you? Or do you take it and promote it and get other people on the same bandwagon as you in order to promote the freedom of passage of information, which is what a lot of these projects are all about. Now, if you can build a business and make a profit off of supporting these products, all the better.
Right. And I think I would add to that, you know, Hillary, when you're talking about all of these people who do this for free and have nowhere to submit the receipts for their cell phones and all of that stuff. I mean, you think, well, gosh, why? Why are they doing all this for free? It's because they care about their country. In this case, it's their country. For me, why do I not charge as much for developing websites as I could? Because in this way, maybe in this way I'm sort of donating whatever percentage below market I'm charging. You know, I'm donating that piece to a bunch of causes that I care about and businesses I care about. And I don't think about it as donating, but I do think about it as, you know, a way for me to make a difference through how they're making a difference, I guess. That sounds really self-promotional, and I'm sort of cringing at myself here, but I do feel that way.
Well, that's one of the reasons I wanted to talk with you, because in terms of idealism, You know, I'm certainly not the bloody do-gooder out there. However, one of the reasons I do what I do and I run Virtual Assistant Israel rather than specifically and only dedicating my time to ghost blogging and to a lot of the social media stuff, I love it and I'm good at it and I could make a whole lot more money doing that. But the reason that I continue to manage this company is because I am a Zionist. It's important to me to employ women in this country at a livable wage in a flexible enough way so that they can raise children while making money. That's hard to do, especially for people who have moved here and don't speak the language very well. It's important to me to contribute in that way. And I hear you about not writing big checks. I mean, you don't go to Hadassah Hospital and see the Favorman wall plaque, okay? I'm not, you know, donating $40 million to develop a new children's wing.
That's just not who we are. I know, shocking. Shocking! It's not who we are. It's not what we're able to do. I write resumes for everybody I know. I do a lot of interview coaching and a lot of resume coaching. And, you know, I help people through the job search process. You will often see on my Facebook page, hey, there's a job here. Hey, there's a job there. You know, who's good at this? Who's interested in this? I circulate a lot of that information. For the same kind of reason, I think it's important to pay it forward. It's important to contribute in some sort of tangible way, even if it's not money. I mean, we don't have enough to be writing checks here and there. But expertise and time and, frankly, giving a shit, that's enough. That's enough. And I think you have, the reason I'm so impressed with your business is because it's important enough to you to make that into a business and to contribute in that way and to be able to monetize it and not screw your clients and not screw yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't mean to be claiming that I don't charge anyone anything. We do need the income that I bring in. But yeah, you're right.
Debbie, I really appreciate you spending time with us today. I know it's not the easiest thing. It's summer. All the kids are home. My kids are home. Jeff's kids are home. Your kids are home.
Yeah.
So it's a great thing that we're able to speak. I know that everybody's got babysitters, so I won't keep you. But thank you so much for the contribution and the time.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much, Debbie. It was great having you on the show. You have a great day.
You too. Right. Bye-bye.
So Hillary, what'd you think of that interview?
Not bad for our first day.
Yeah. No, you know something? I think that this interview was excellent. For me, it's very important to get out of my comfort zone, right? And talk to people.
Jeff, are nonprofits out of your comfort zone?
Nonprofits are very much outside of my comfort zone. And I'll tell you why. Because there are some nonprofits that are very well funded, right? And they have very well... you know, they have very good managers in place and they have very passionate people. And there are other nonprofits which just expect the fact that because I am a nonprofit, I therefore should get everything for free.
That's your experience with nonprofits, really?
I've seen both sides of it. And I like to work with nonprofits when there's something there, right? I don't like working with the people for free because, well, you know my thoughts on free. If you didn't pay for it, there's no value to it. On the other extreme, you know, of course, everyone would like to work with, you know, the United Way and the Bill Gates Foundations of the world. But, you know, not everyone's that fortunate.
I don't know. First of all, I wouldn't necessarily go that far. I tend to avoid nonprofits only because my background is HR. And in human resources, I found, certainly not as a rule, it is not always the case, but many people who have been in large nonprofits for an extended period of time are, dare I say, mediocre. These folks have been in
big
a
word for you.
Yeah, it's more than two syllables. These folks have been in the same job for not a ton of money. As we know, nonprofits don't pay beautifully. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the mindset of Russia in the 80s, they pay me a little, I work a little.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So that has been, you know, I've been exposed to that mindset. And the reason that I was so excited to speak with Debbie professionally is because she is so a break out of that mold. She's so excited about what she does and why she does it that the last thing, the last way I would ever categorize her in any way is mediocre or dispassionate or apathetic. She doesn't do anything unless she feels strongly about it. And I think you share that with her.
She is smoking her niche. And that's what I love. She's taking it home.
I agree 100%.
Well, Hillary, we had a great interview. I'm very happy that we're going to be able to post this on our blog. Also, would like to invite our listeners that if you liked what you hear, we would love to hear from you in terms of leaving us an iTunes review or leaving a comment in the show notes on the blog. I think it will be great to see what other people have thought about this interview. And also, if you have any questions, if there are other people you'd like for us to interview, we both have pretty wide networks. If you think that there is a topic that you would like to hear us go back and forth on, we would love to hear from you. What do you think, Hillary?
Agreed. Come talk to us. It gets lonely in the studio. Come talk to us.
Exactly. Hillary, thanks for your time. You have a great week.
You too, man. Check you later.
Talk to you.
You've been listening to the Blog This podcast with Jeff and Hillary. Be sure to check us out at blogthispodcast.com for more. That's blogthispodcast.com. Thanks for listening.